Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Back here, ecclesiology, the church. You are the church, yes? Look at your neighbor, say you are the church. We also realize that God's plan for the church has been here from day dot. Before there wasn't even time, God's plan for the church was here. Today I want to wrap this up. Today we want to bring this whole series of ecclesiology to an end. And I have another truth that I want to focus on. And it's a truth that is, I'm speaking to you. I'm going to say this right in the forefront. I'm speaking to you as the people here. I'm not encouraging you to take this out to there. I'm encouraging you to think about it here, because this, what we're talking about, has to do with us that is sitting in this room and everybody else sitting in rooms similar to this that they gather as the church across the globe. I have named this today, the church, the body of Christ, every part matters. Every part matters. I want you to take a moment to think about your own body. You see, every morning you wake up, your heart beats without you even thinking about it. Your lungs, they expand without you even thinking about it. Your legs, you swing out from the bed, you get up, and you jovially dance to the bathroom. Some people don't. They are like, oh gosh, it's another day. I won't mention names, just follow my eyes. Front row. Threw under the bus the first service, I might as well throw under the bus the second service. You get in front of the mirror, and you're bright and bubbly, and you're looking at God's creation. No, you don't. You get in front of the mirror going, I've got another line. I've got a zit. What's happening here? But this is God's creation. But your eyes see it. Yeah? Every part of your body basically works together. Each has its function. And each part of your body is indispensable. Now imagine, just imagine. If you got up in the morning and your fingers decided that they're not going to go to work today, or your eyes refused to see, or your ears refused to hear, there would be chaos. There would basically be dysfunction. You see, because every part of your body plays a role in you functioning as you. Now, the Apostle Paul uses this very analogy to describe the church. And we're going to read a very lengthy scripture out of the Passion Translation. That's the translation I'm using. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 28. I'm going to read it for you. It's going to be on the screen. But I'd like you to get your Bibles out. If you've got your Bibles here, get your Bibles out as well. Because there's a couple of things that we're going to underline. Verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 28, the Passion Translation. Just as the human body is one, though it has many parts that together form one body, so too is Christ. For by one spirit people, not different spirits, one spirit, we all were immersed and mingled into one single body. And no matter your status, whether we are Jews or non-Jews, oppressed or free, Paul, what's Paul trying to do here? Paul's trying to show us that the gospel levels a playing field. Doesn't matter what your status is. Doesn't matter if you're oppressed or free, overlooked or influential. Our worth is not set by society's labels. Our worth is set by the cross. This is what he's trying to get to us, all right? Whether we are Jews or non-Jews, oppressed or free, we are all privileged, everybody say privileged, to drink deeply of the same Holy Spirit. Verse 14, in fact, the human body is not one single part, but rather many parts mingled into one. So if the foot were to say, since I'm not the hand, I'm not part of the body, it's forgetting that it is still a vital part of the body. And if the ear were to say, since I'm not the eye, I'm not really a part of the body, it's forgetting that it is still an important part of the body. Verse 17, think of it this way. If the whole body were just an eyeball, Lord Jesus, help us. How could it hear sounds? And if the whole body were just an ear, how could it smell different fragrances? Verse 18, but God. Everybody say, but God. But God has carefully designed each member, carefully designed each member, and placed it in the body. He designed it and placed it in the body to do what? To function as he desires. It's a word for somebody. Function as he desires. Verse 19, a diversity is required. For if the body consists of one single part, there would be a body. There wouldn't be a body at all. So now we see that there are many different parts and functions, but one body. So God has given us, God has given us the church, you and I, these manifold gifts to reveal his manifold wisdom. We spoke about this a bit earlier on. The varied abilities and perspectives. Each one, what he's saying, is necessary for the body to function fully. Okay? Verse 21, it would be wrong for the eye to say, I don't need you, and equally wrong if the head said to the foot, I don't need you. In fact, the weaker our parts, the more vital and essential they are. Ooh. Think about that in the Word. Think about that in the church. The weaker our parts, the more vital and essential they are. The body parts we think are less honorable, we treat with greater respect. And the body parts that need to be covered in public, we treat with propriety and clothe them. But some of our body parts don't require as much attention. Instead, God has mingled the body parts together, giving greater honor to the lesser members who lacked it. 25, he has done this intentionally. Underline that word intentionally. God doesn't just do the things by chance. He always does it intentionally. He has done this intentionally so that, here it comes the reason, every member would look after the others with mutual concern. Every member will look after the others with mutual concern so that there will be no division in the body. How much division is in the church? Who brings division? The enemy. Steal, kill, destroy. Oh, God is this. He says this. His idea is this. His thoughts are this. So that every member would look after the others with mutual concern, so that there will be no division in the body. In that way, whatever happens to one member happens to all. If one suffers, everyone suffers. If one is honored, everyone rejoices. And then this is the key line. Verse 27, you are, everybody say you are, the body of the anointed one, and each of you is a unique and vital part of it. Each one of you is a unique and vital part of it. Repeat after me. I am part of the body of the anointed one. I am unique, but I am vital in this body. Look at your neighbor and say, that's true for you. That is true for us all. The first part of scripture that I want to highlight is 1 Corinthians 12:12. And what I've named it is unity in diversity. You see, unity in diversity is used many times in the negative, in religious circles, negative religious circles. Verse 12 says, just as the human body is one, though it has many parts that together form one body, so too is Christ. Paul comes with some profound truths. The first is, so too is Christ. He's pointing to you and I and saying that Christ is not complete in isolation from his body. He's the head. A head without the body means absolutely nothing. Christ is the head. He is not complete in isolation from his body. In other words, his life flows into us, and together we manifest him on the earth. Together. Which then leads us to the next thing, that profound truth that is highlighted here, is the unity. The church is one body. Now, we've spoken about the church is not a building. The church is you. So what I'm saying is you and I, we all, and every other believer across this globe is one body. We are the body of Christ. But he immediately talks about diversity in the same sentence. He immediately acknowledges that there are many parts. Though it has many parts that together form one body. What is Paul reminding us? He's reminding us that yes, we are different, but we are still one. It's okay to be different, but we are still one. You see, unity in diversity, as I said, gets thrown around in the negative. But what Paul is saying is we're not all the same. No, we're not, but we're still one. We're not all the same, but we are still one. We're not all the same, but we belong together. We belong together. We are all one and we belong together. God has made us, each one of us, unique. He's given us different personalities and different backgrounds and different gifts and different talents and different knowledge and different wisdom. But those differences are not a problem. No. They are not a problem. They should not be a place of contention, or they should not cause any tension. They are the very things that he designed that make the church strong. He designed it that way, to strengthen the church. Think about your body again. Your hand is not your foot, but you need both. The eye doesn't do what the ear does, but you need them working together. The thumb is not your big toe, but they both play an integral part in your coordination. I don't know if you realize this, but the thumb actually is responsible for 40% of the hand function. 40%. That's quite a lot. It enables fine motor skills. It brings a stability of grip by opposing your other fingers. Did you also know that losing your big toe affects your coordination, it affects your balance, it affects your gait efficiency, and the doctors can help me afterwards, but I have heard that if you lose your big toe, you've got to learn to walk again. Your balance is stuffed up. What am I trying to say? The point is every part of the body plays a unique but very significant role. Now, the church is what Paul is saying is exactly the same. We don't all preach. We don't all sing. We don't all play keyboard. We don't all serve out the front there. We don't all own a business. But you know what? Every person plays a significant role in the body. Your gift, your talent, your mindset, your thoughts, your ideas, your creativity. Together, they form the body which is needed so that there's wholeness within the body, so that the function of the body can be healthy and whole. I mean, any Greeks in the house? We had a couple. Any Greeks? Wave at me. Any Greeks? Any Italians? Any Italians going? I've got some Italians. Have I got any South Africans? I've got South Africans over here. 3 of you. 5 of you. 10 of you. My gosh, South Africans are taking over. Okay, I'm just kidding. Any Africans in the house? Yeah, we got some Africans here. Africans at the back there. Have we got any Aussies in the house? 5 of you. Whoa. Have we got any Aussies in the house? Any Filipinos in the house? All right. What am I trying to get here? You know what? When you make a family meal, I don't know if you've ever been to an Italian family, but my gosh, when the nonna is making the pizza, you don't come anywhere close to that place. She takes the ladle of the pizza and she smacks you over your backside. Yeah? Why? Because too many cooks spoil the broth. She doesn't want you mixing in there. But when Nonna is busy doing the pizza and you are busy setting the table and your mom is busy making the dessert and your papa is busy bringing in the vino and you're sitting down and having your feasto, guess what? You're all very happy. Yeah? But when everybody's trying to make the pizza, Nonna's not going to be happy. She's going to be angry. What am I saying? That is unity in diversity. That is unity in diversity, yeah? Because we all have our gifts and talents that we need to bring to the table to make everybody function well. Why is this important to know? Why is this so important to understand? Because unity in diversity is God's design for His church. Wake up. It's God's design. If everyone was the same, how boring would the church be? How flat and incomplete would the church be? So right from the beginning, God designed variety. You just got to look at the animals. They don't all look the same. They just come from Africa. A zebra's got stripes. Donkey does not have stripes. Horse does not have stripes. Similar but not the same. A little pussycat and a lion, similar but not the same. Variety. He designed the variety. Nations and languages and personalities and gifts. Why? So together we will reveal His glory. Together we reveal the multifaceted wisdom as a church to the world around us as well as the angelic beings. This is it. And when we grasp this, when we realize this, church, guess what? It protects us from pride and comparison. How? Because no gift is then superior. How does it protect us? No person is unnecessary. We realize that everybody around us is needed. The church needs the very unique gift that you carry. The church needs every unique gift. Why? For it to be healthy and effective. You see, unity and diversity means we don't compete, but we complete. We don't compete, but we complete. We complete one another. In a marriage, many times you hear the husband say, you've heard me say this a lot of times, my wife completes me. Maybe not. Maybe that's the first time you've heard me say that. But she does complete me. And vice versa. But you know what? As in the natural, so in the supernatural. We don't compete, we complete. We got to complete. The differences are not a threat, people. Folks, hear me now. Differences are not a threat. They are a strength. You see, the body works best when each part functions as God designed it. Today, right here, we have Chris behind, chucking up all the words, going through my script, trying to keep up to me. We have Joel doing sound. We had James here on the keyboard. You know, very unique. I could do that as well. What are you laughing at, Tim? I warned you the first service. We'll have a chat on Tuesday for an hour and a half this time. Now, I'm only kidding, but we have James here. We have the drummer. I mean, you know, yes, drumming is in the family because Jay drums, but don't get me on the drums, please. But out there, we have a welcome team. We had a car park team. We had somebody doing coffee. But you know what? Together, we came together this morning at 8 o'clock. Why? So that we could pray and we could prepare. These guys were walking in here. This guy walked in here at 6 o'clock this morning to make sure that everything was on and everything was set. I was here before that to flick on the air conditioner so you could have some heat. But together, we prepared the place that you can come together so that we could worship together. Unity in diversity. Unity in diversity. But you know what? My next point is unity is not uniformity. We're not expecting it all to be the same. In verse 18, it says, but God has carefully designed each member and place it in the body to function as He desires. A diversity is required. This is Scripture saying this to us. A diversity is required. Uniformity means or demands sameness. Sameness meaning everybody looks the same, everybody thinks the same, everybody acts the same, everybody says the same. That's not how God designed His church. Unity, on the other hand, celebrates harmony. Unity celebrates differences, working together. An example of singing. Now, I've asked Tim to give us a demonstration. And he's going to sing a song and what we call a melody line.
He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead. He is Lord.
Okay, thanks, Tim. Let's do it now with harmonies.
He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He Lord, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Come on, let's give them a round of applause. The melody line is needed in singing, but it's simple, plain, and not flat in pitch, but flat. Soon as you bring in harmonies, it's warm, appealing, attractive. That's the church. If the church was just like a melody line, it would be boring. But you see, it's the differences. It's the working together. Let me tell you that those three, there were three of them in here, and some of us jumped in. I heard the different harmonies. Those three had to work together, number one, to stay on pitch because everybody's listening. Number two, to get the different notes at the different harmonies. Not that easy. But they work together. That is a perfect example of how the church should be. When each of one of us brings who God made us to be, the church becomes whole and healthy, powerful, warm, attractive. You see, Ephesians 4:16 says this, and I'm reading it from the Passion Translation as well. For his body has been formed in his image and is closely joined together and constantly connected as one. And every member, that's us, you and I, has been given divine gifts to contribute to the growth of all. You and I have been given divine gifts to contribute to the growth of all. That means every single one. And then it goes on. And as these gifts operate effectively, guess what? Throughout the whole body, I'm not talking about New Me East. I'm talking about the body that goes to Rome, the body that goes to Africa, the body that goes to Europe, the body that goes to Asia, the body, wherever. The body, throughout the whole body, we are built up and made perfect in love. We are built up. Hold on. As these gifts operate effectively throughout the whole body, we are built up. You and I are built up. You see, unity is dynamic. When every part works together, that's the key. We work together. We are built up. We are built up in love and in maturity and in effectiveness and in power. These gifts operate effectively. What am I saying? Each part. What is he saying? What does the scripture say? Each part of the body has a responsibility. Folks, it's not about being together. It's about building together. It's not about being together. It's about building together. This is being together. But this is not where it stops. We are called to build together. We are called to build His kingdom together. We are called to build one another together. We are called to grab a hand, somebody that's in the pit, and raise them up, raise them higher. We are called to speak life. We are called to build one another up. So here's my question. My question is this: how are your gifts, your talents, your wisdom, your knowledge? How is what you have been entrusted with strengthening the church family? The church. Not this one. The church. Capital T, capital T. How is it strengthening the church? How is your leadership qualifications, or your, not even qualifications, your leadership capabilities? How is your serving and your words of encouragement? How is your giving? I mean, Chris did a phenomenal job in that this morning. How is your prayer life? How is your teaching? How is your sharing the gospel? What is in your hand? What is in your hand? How is that strengthening the church? But you see, because according to Scripture, unity in the church is expressed in practical love. Practical means I do something. I don't just say to Samson, hey, Samson, I love you, mate. No. Practical. I want to see Samson championed. I want to see Samson become all that God has called him to be. How, what is in my hand can God use to lift him up and help him become all that God has called him to be? Same with you. What is in your hand? What has God given you? What is that hidden talent, that hidden gift? Guess what? The church needs you. The church needs you. You see, the body of Christ is incomplete. It's not whole until every part plays its role. Every part. It's not whole. I can have a 50-piece orchestra up here. But let me tell you, if it's just the violins that are playing the whole time, help us. And when the trombones come in, and the trumpets come in, and the drums come in, and the orchestra, each one plays its part, it becomes something significant, unique, and beautiful. We are God's orchestra. Each one of you have been entrusted with something. Which brings me to my next point, which is every part is needed. Look at your neighbor and go, huh, you need it? Could have fooled me. Might fool you, but it doesn't fool Jesus. Doesn't fool God. For the church to be whole, every part is needed. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, you are the body of the anointed one. Not you are becoming. You are the body of the anointed one, and each one of you is a unique and vital part of it. You are a unique. Everybody put up their little finger. Everybody. South Africans included. Thank you very much. Little finger, big finger, whatever finger. That, look at that fingerprint. There's no other fingerprint like that one in the whole earth. You are unique. You are unique, but he created you like that. But you are also a vital part of the anointed one's body. The point I want you to get out of this is certain, without certain members participating, the body isn't fully functioning. That's a word for somebody. Everyone is needed. Everyone is needed for the church to be healthy, strong, and fully alive. Every member has been given divine gifts to contribute to the growth of all. Every part matters. Every role matters. Every gift matters. Every person is necessary for the body of Christ to function 100%. No one is useless. Today, I cancel those words. I know. You know, when you maybe you were a child and you tried to do something and your parent just shouts at you, oh, you're a useless thing. I cancel that. I heard that. I'm not useless. Excuse me, I'm a son of God. My parents were a little bit warped at that time when they said that. Maybe a little bit angry. Maybe I did push them a little bit too far. But that is not my identity. I am not useless. I am a son of God. You are a son, you're a daughter, and guess what? You are a unique and vital part in the anointed one's body. Unique and vital. unique, and say that word, unique and vital. That is me. Say that. That is me. Nobody is unnecessary. Oh, they don't need me. They've got enough. No. Stop. That's a lie from hell. Because if you're not part of this body, you're not functioning the way you should be functioning. Guess what? You are not doing what God said, because the enemy has lied to you, and you are listening to his lies instead of listening to what God is saying about you. Come on. You're not a wallflower. Stop being a wallflower. Stop being a pew warmer. Praise God, we haven't got pews. But stop being a seat warmer. No. He's called you for a reason and in the season. And my job as the leader of this house is to challenge you and make sure that you function as that vital, unique part of his body. And this is the truth. I want to say another thing. There's no hierarchy of importance in this house. Actually, there's no hierarchy of importance in God's kingdom. Hoo-wee. You see, there's only the call to function and contribute. My thumb needs to function and contribute. My thumb. I would find it very difficult to hold my microphone if I did not have a thumb. I can't even do it. Yeah, I can do it, but I would drop it. And then they would kill me. I don't want to go to heaven just yet. I've got some more work to do. But my thumb plays a role in me functioning and contributing to just hold my microphone. Where are you? What are you? What part of the body are you? I don't know. But you know what? You are called to function and contribute. Because each one contributes in different ways, but every part is essential. Your contribution might look different to my contribution. But guess what? It's just as valuable in God's design. I was thinking of Cam, and I saw her second service, and even Sun Marie. You know, our hospitality team play a significant role. Man, when you walk out here and it's Mother's Day and there's food, when you walk out there, there's cake. When you go to Alpha, there's food being made. Guess what? It doesn't mean because they're making food at Alpha and they're not seen from the platform that they are insignificant, less significant than what I am. No. They are more significant. They are more significant. They are the same significant. Well, not even more. They play a role as significant as my role. Hear me now. You don't have to be on a platform and have a microphone to have significance. You have significance because of who you are. And as Bell said, whose you are. You are his, and you are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. You are vital, and you are unique, and you are part of his body. There's no hierarchy. No hierarchy. You see, a healthy church family does not try to make everybody the same. It cultivates a culture where differences are honored and each part is celebrated. Lord, help us to be like that. Help us to be that. Help us to live this out. Help each one of us to live this out. Now, I want to encourage you with this. Do not underestimate what you have to contribute. You are part of his body. I said this for you. Your value is not what you do for me. I might not even see what you do. Please, don't put us on a pedestal. Your value is not in what you do for me. Your value is what you do for him and only him. Because I may not see, but he sees everything. He sees everything. He sees the hours that our hospitality team puts in to make sure that there's food for Alpha. He sees the hours, the preparation that they put in to make this service happen. God sees everything. Everything. He sees everything. You are a unique and vital part. I said this a couple of weeks ago. You're not here at Numa East by coincidence. You're here for a reason and a purpose. And just like this, picture of a puzzle. That's you. The puzzle is God's picture of the world. That's you. Now, if I took that gold piece of puzzle out, what would be there? A hole. a whole. Hello, people. Hear what I'm saying. If you are not functioning, there's a hole. But you are connected to other puzzle pieces. To form the whole picture. And that is what you need to know. Without you, his picture is incomplete. Jesus died for you. Not to sit and be a pew warmer. Not to sit and be a wallflower. No. He died for you because you are unique and vital part of his body. And he wants you to function so his body can be whole. I need you. Paulina needs you. Chris Willis needs you. Belinda needs you. Nick needs you. Mark needs you. Chris needs you. Grace needs you. So I can go around the room. Every person in this place needs you. Marie, we need you. Every person. Every person needs you. But most of all, God needs you. God needs you. You see, he made you for his body. He made you for this moment. He made you for this place. He has a purpose for your life. Psalm 139 says that he knitted you in your mother's womb, that he wrote all the days of your life in his book before there was one. That means that he has already planned how you are to fit into his body. He's already planned. James, you can jump up. That'll be great. He's already planned. He needs you. Without you, the church is missing a part of what only you can give, what only you can bring. Look around you. Please look around. Look around. Turn your head. Look to the people at the back. Look to the people across the aisles. Every person you've just looked at needs you. People who are hearing my voice on this podcast, people need you. The church needs you. They need you to play your role and be your part. So I close with this. The church is not a building. It's not four walls, curtains, brick and mortar. The church is a living, breathing body. Every part of that body matters. Every part plays a unique and significant role. And just like the physical body, it doesn't function properly unless each part plays the role that God has given you. So my challenge, you know I always challenge you. Here's my challenge. Pause. Stop. Ask. What is my part in his church? Not Numa East, in his church. What is my part in his church? I want you to close your eyes. Nobody looking around. Nobody walking around. Close your eyes. This is a God moment. God is about to reveal to you. God's about to wipe away all those cobwebs, wipe away all those lies, and reveal to you what is his part that he has entrusted you with. You are unique. You are unique and vital. What is the role that you are meant to be playing? And then ask this next question. Holy Spirit, am I fulfilling it? You're going to get a yes or a no. If you get a no, it's time to start digging. It's time to start spending time with him and asking him, Lord, what have you entrusted to me? What have you put in my hand that your church needs? Not what Numa East needs, not what JJ needs, what your church needs. You've got to ask this question, Holy Spirit, help me. Show me how my gifts or my talents, my passions, my knowledge, how my presence, how can what I have contribute to what you are doing in the church globally. Keep your eyes closed. I want to say this. God isn't calling you to someone else's role. He's calling you to your role. This is not about somebody else. It's not about your spouse. It's not about your auntie, your uncle, not your oma, nor na. It's about you. He's calling you to your role, the next chapter of what he wants to do through you in his church. And what he wants to do cannot happen without you. Hear me today, Yuma East. Hear me today, whoever's listening. It's time to step into your part. It's time to embrace your uniqueness. Be ready to see God move through you and only you in ways that you never thought possible. So here's my last question. Will you commit today to play your part as a member of Christ's body? Let unity in diversity define who you are, not just in the gathering, but in the living organism of the body of Christ. Father, I thank you for this moment. I thank you for this moment. Thank you that it's a holy moment. Whew, I feel your presence. I sense you are moving on hearts and minds. I sense you are moving. Move more, Holy Spirit. Convict us. Convict us. Show us. Lead us. Guide us. We repent this morning. We repent for being blasé. We cannot deny that we didn't know this when we meet you, because we now know it. It's been spelled out. And Holy Spirit, thank you for helping us understand. Thank you for helping us understand. Helping us understand. We come today and we come and we surrender ourselves. We surrender our opinions. We surrender the hurt that we've been carrying, the disappointments. We surrender it to you today. Holy Spirit, help. Help us to walk as the church. Help us to walk as the church. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.